Destination, freedom. Listen, it's the freedom bell.
Aye, the freedom bell, my friends. And this is Paul Revere, called back from the shadows by the sound of the freedom bell to cry again a warning that the price of freedom is eternal vigilance.
Destination Freedom is presented by Station WMAQ in the interest of human freedom the world over. Paul Revere is the symbol of warning, ready to ride down the skies to shout an alarm. His destination, now and forever, freedom.
Aye, my friend, I have a story to tell indeed. 'Tis a known fact that America's might was conceived by common men with a common cause, all working together shoulder to shoulder. Of course, we've had our differences from time to time. Labor and management haven't always seen eye to eye. They still have to focus their sights now and then. But, well, we've reached an understanding among men here that's one of the finest tributes to patience and understanding I've ever seen. How was it achieved? Well, there are some who won't agree with me, but I've seen some mighty fine results come out of organized labor. Unions. Groups of men and women exercising their rights as free folks in a free land. But it wasn't always that way, you know. No siree. You take the days when iron ore was being developed in Minnesota, for example. The days when miners brought home $20 a week. The days when a man could be fired from his job if he stayed home to tend the kids when his wife was sick. Hey, my friend, we've come a long way. But as I was going to tell you, I have a story to tell. A story about a Minnesota miner. Mike Yankovich was his name. Big Mike, he was known as. He had a heart of gold and a temper like the wrath of God.
Agnes, how many times I say not to put garlic in sandwich?
Now, what is wrong with you? My garlic is one of few herbs I ever found would sweeten your soul.
My soul, Mrs. Yankovich, will get to heaven soon as the next man's in this godforsaken hole. It's my digestion's going to the devil. I'll have no more of it.
Well, we'll see.
Oh. There's Chris.
Chris is just getting up, Mike.
Late again, huh? Oh,
hi, Pop. Ma.
Hello, Chris.
What's for supper?
Sit down. Why don't you buy yourself a new alarm clock?
Maybe I would if I was making $35 a week. Where's my grub, Mom?
Oh, I put your plate in the oven, Chris. I get it for you.
What's wrong with his getting his own supper?
Now, don't be so rough with him, Mike. You're not driving crew inside this house.
Listen, while I'm bringing home the paycheck, it's me who gives the orders, see?
Oh, sure. Here, Chris. Now, have I forgot something?
How about the letter from Pete?
Oh, the letter. Yes. Huh? Thank you for reminding me.
Pete wrote?
Yes.
Well, why didn't you say so? Where's the letter?
Well, here, Mike.
Oh, funny. Every time he writes, I'm always the last person in the whole doggone house that knows anything about it.
Coffee, Chris?
Yeah, thanks, Mom.
This letter sure don't sound like my boy. Sent him into Germany to study how to be a doctor. Not how to start snooping into labor troubles. Listen to this. Germany under Hitler is to be divided into 13 sections, each under control of a labor trustee. They say this will mean shorter working days, creating more jobs, but somewhat less work for each man. Germany has no more trade unions. There are no more strikes. Wages, working conditions are all under state control. My landlord here, Kraft, says there are no longer rights for the worker. But many workers don't seem to mind. Agnieszka, is this a medical student talking? What nonsense is he up to? Why does he write like this? Why doesn't my Pete tell me of his lessons, his professors? Hitler, the phony.
Oh, somebody's at the door. I get it, Mike.
Well, gotta go. Where's my bucket, Mom?
In the kitchen, Chris.
Get the bucket, be off with you, boy. And on the way home, Stop in a store and get yourself a clock. Put in an honest day's work for the company for a change.
Mike? Mike, it is Bill Gibbons.
Oh, that union agitator. Throw him out. No, I'll do it myself.
Mike Yankovic. This gentleman has come to your home as a guest. Now mind your manners and your tongue.
I won't talk with him. Tell him I'm drunk.
Oh, everybody in town knows you stopped drinking 30 years ago. Now be a gentleman. There is Chris.
In the kitchen.
Oh, Mike. I should have told you to keep that boy out of there. Mike, huh? I just made him a birthday cake. Chris!
Aha! There's no secrets around the house while this fella's on the prowl,
oh,
Mom.
Chris.
Who's at the door, shouldn't I ask? Boy, that frosting is just as good as the last 23.
Mike, Mr. Gibbons is in the living room. I bring dessert in to both of you. Mm. And as for you, youngest son, shame on you. Peeking at your birthday cake ahead of time, that's bad luck. You got your dinner pail?
Yep.
All right, now. You do what your papa says. You put in a good day's work for the company.
The company. That's all I hear around this house all day long. I'm glad Gibbons came here tonight. It's about time somebody started to light a fire under Big Mike.
Shh. Your papa roll up his sleeves and wail the tar out of you.
Oh, not anymore, he won't. Feel my muscles. Here.
Oh, get going.
Not the one between my ears. My arm. Here, feel.
Come on, Chris. I go to the door with you. Mike, you go see Mr. Gibbons in the living room.
Yankovic. I didn't come here tonight because I wanted to. There's a lot of men in your crew asked me to.
They did, huh? I suppose it's about the union.
Yeah, it is.
Well, why don't they talk to me about it during hours?
Well, they're afraid of you, Yankovic. They know how you feel about unions.
Well, there's your answer, Gibbons.
Well, not quite, Yankovic. Your crews have a right to join up if they want to. They don't like being pushed around.
Ha ha! Who's pushing?
Both yourself and the management, Mike.
Me? Me, Big Mike?
Now, Mike, look. How long's it been since you were down in the shaft at the Kendall location?
Look, Gibbons, you're wasting your time.
What about the Kendall location, Gibbons?
Haven't you gone yet, Chris? Get out of here.
I'm working over there tonight. What about it?
I just came from there yesterday, and if I were you, lad, I'd keep out of that shaft.
Oh, I know all about the Kendall shaft. Gibbons, if it's working conditions you're yelling about, there's nothing wrong with them pits. Nothing.
They put up a danger sign there this afternoon, Mike.
Danger?
Yes, Mrs. Yankovic. Danger. Somebody smelled gas in there.
Gas! Oh! Good Lord! The next thing I'll be hearing about is we're mining coal. A new vein discovered 1,500 feet underground. That's a lie, Gibbons.
Well, then I'm a liar too, Big Mike. You see, the second I heard about it, I went down. There is gas down there. I smelled it myself.
Wish I was a mind super kid and could punch time ticker whenever I felt like it.
Yeah. When they went working in Sweden, they knew a fellow who thought he was privileged character. He showed him.
Oh, shut your traps. The way you guys talk, you make it sound like a criminal offense.
Yeah, you think it ain't? You should be working in Ukraine. There you find out, sonny boy. A minute late on job, see you docking pay envelope.
They lose you up in the old country when they show up late.
Well, you're not in the old country now. You're in a good old USA. Why don't you stop worrying about your jobs all the time? There's plenty of work.
You can find old Sweetie up in the old time, eh?
With a union to back you up, you'll never have to worry about finding a job. None of you guys.
Yeah, union. What do you think we're trying to get in this man for the last 2 years? Union. Ha! Big Mike don't like union.
Don't tell me.
Carl, he don't like him either.
Krauss and your old man, good friends.
So what? Krauss knew my old man a lot longer than anyone else around here. What's wrong with that?
Not.
Well, almost at level we working tonight.
You see sign they tack up on pole, sonny boy?
Sure, I saw it. What about it?
No smoking, it say.
All right, remember that.
If we have union, sonny boy, we not be in shaft tonight. We be topside in bed, snoring away. Piling up the logs by the bedside. Well, here goes.
Yeah, here goes. Me tools cost me. Big Mike says new ore vein, good ore. Maybe much ore.
He took samples last week up, Carl.
Watch for those rail ties, Oscar. Flip you if you ain't looking. Watch them low trusses, Oscar. Oh,
forget that one.
That goes up now. Climb about 35 feet here.
Shine your lamp up there in that rafter.
Okay. What you see?
Don't look good to me, fellas. I'm going to tell Big Mike this looks like a weak timber. Say, how much farther we go before we get to the vein?
Vein 35 feet overhead.
I don't like this.
Come on. Nobody like working this far below ground. But kids got to eat. Landlord's kids got to eat. Krause's kids got to eat. Grocer's kids. Let's go.
Yeah.
Something else you tell Big Mike. You say, Oscar here, too old to work. Oscar got hay fever. Pretty soon, asthma. Pretty soon, ticker gone kaput. Lots of time, Oscar forget things. Union put Oscar on job topside, where forgetting don't melt. Oscar! Oscar! No smoking!
No, Mr. Gibbons. I never dreamed there could come so much good out of a union.
I only wish more good could be gotten from collective bargaining, Mrs. Yankovich. Well, Mike knows. Other minds are negotiating now.
And what's it got 'em?
Mike, I'll bet you personally supervised the mining of 50 million tons of ore in your 30-odd years working for Krause.
Well, almost.
Well, look, they're building a school here right now. It's going to cost $4 million to build it.
So what?
So what? Well, that money came from the ore you helped dig, Mike, you and thousands of others. That school is for our kids. That dough didn't come out of your pockets. 10 cents a ton was tacked onto the price of that ore to pay for it. These kids are getting free books, free paper, free lunches, free medical care, free dental care. Everything's free. And yet, what benefits do your men get? I ask. Nothing. If anything happens to them, there's no pension, no free medical care, only charity.
Oh, my goodness.
But they're entitled to something. Aren't they, Mike? After all, they're doing the work.
Well, somebody's got to do it. Hey. What's that?
What sounds like somebody is blasting, Mike.
There's no blasting on the third shift.
Are you sure of that, Mike?
Those were my orders, Gibbons. I ought to know.
You forgot about the gas.
Huh?
I got my car outside, Mike. Let's go find out.
Mike. That telephone must be for you.
Hello? Explosion? Where? Kendall? Right away. What about the men? Oh, let's go, Gibbons.
Thank you.
them, Mike.
Take it easy, boys. Don't let those crowbars slip. Come on, now, lift steady. Easy, now. No.
Who is it, Mike?
I don't know yet, Gibbons. He's face down. There's too much blood on his face.
Watch out for broken bones. His legs are still pinned, Mike. Can't we get some more leverage on those bars?
Get on those bars, men. Lift them up now. No. Lift!
Gently. I don't want the tourniquets to slip. Get him over the cage as quickly as possible. We'll take him to the hospital in my car. I'll finish the amputations when we get there.
Sorry I am about Chris.
Yeah, Kraus. Chris was a good boy. A good boy.
I'll talk to Agnes.
No, Kraus. Big Mike will do that.
Mike, there must be something I can do.
There is, Kraus.
Well, tell me, Mike. I'll try my best.
The men, Kraus. They've been talking unions again. Hear them out for once. Will you? Hey, Kraus, somebody's already here.
Yeah, who?
A car parking driveway. It's Gibbons' car.
Gibbons?
Ah, you know, a fellow that went down in the cage.
Yeah, I know. He's that union agitator.
Gibbons a good man, Kraus. He was with me tonight when they phoned me about that explosion. Agnes must know by now.
You mean he came on ahead to spill the news? Getting a plug for the union. Swearing on a stack of Bibles that if there'd been a union, none of this ever would have had a chance to happen.
I wonder, Kraus. Maybe he's right.
Mike, I want to go in with you.
All right. Agnes knows, all right. It won't matter, I guess.
I'm terribly sorry for both you and Big Mike, Mrs. Yankovich.
Mr. Gibbons, is there even the smallest chance that Chris might be just trapped and not killed?
No, Agnes. Chris is dead.
Mike.
Has his body been found, Mike?
Chris is dead. Don't have to find body. Big Mike, no.
Mrs. Yankovich, I'm very sorry.
Were there any survivors?
Carl Hinkle.
But he'll never work again.
Why? What do you mean?
Gibbons, I think you've said enough to Mrs. Yankovich already.
I haven't even started talking yet, Kraus. Wait till that board of inquiry starts fishing into that wreckage. You haven't even heard the start of this thing. Just wait.
You better leave, Mr. Gibbons.
Yeah, I'd better. Before there's another explosion right here in the living room. Doc, how's Carl Hinkle? Did he come out of it yet?
Yes, Gibbons. Hinkle's conscious, all right.
Does he know he's lost his legs?
Yes.
Can I see him?
Well, I guess so, but only for a moment. He's lost a lot of blood.
That isn't all he's lost, Doc. I just want to get a statement from him.
All right. But just don't stay any longer than you can help. He's in room 37 down the hall and to your right.
Thanks, Doc. Bill Gibbons, Carl.
Gibbons? Yeah. I'm in.
How do you feel, Carl?
Me? All right, I guess. What's left of me, I mean.
Yeah. We did everything we could, Carl. There's too much rock. Couldn't dynamite.
What about Oscar and Chris?
We never found them, Carl.
I see.
Carl, I'm not going to stay long. I just want to know how it happened. That is, if you remember.
So do I, Carl.
Oh,
I knew you'd be down here, Gibbons. All I wanted to do was to see that the facts are straight. I don't like this mess any more than you do, Gibbons. But I'm not going to have the papers printing stories that twist the facts. I want the truth.
Well, so do I, Krause.
Carl, how did it happen?
Well, Chris and Oscar and I, we got down there, and Oscar, he sees the sign, says danger. Chris, he see it too. Chris tell Oscar to remember what the sign says, but Oscar bumped head and forget about the sign. Chris and me, we didn't see Oscar take a cigarette out of his pocket. He strike a match and poof.
Well, then Oscar did.
Yeah, Oscar.
Hello, Carl.
What? Big Mike here.
Yeah. I like to talk Carl alone.
All right, Mike.
Sure, Mike.
I'll drop in tomorrow, Carl. Don't worry about anything.
No, Carl, not worried. Thanks for dropping around. I feel good tomorrow. Yeah, tomorrow.
Carl, I heard what you told Krause and Gibbons.
Is it truth, Mike?
It wasn't bad timber in the roof.
How you know about that, Mike?
I saw it when we were digging for you, Carl.
Chris, he say he's going to tell you about that when he get off shift. Too late now, Big Mike. Too late for Oscar. Too late for Chris. Too late for Carl.
Shut up!
Carl not afraid anymore, Mike. Carl got nothing to lose. Lose a leg, lose a job, lose a house now.
Krause will fix you up. I promise you that.
Krause bring back your kid, too, won't he, Mike, huh? No. Won't work, Mike. Union better. If Chris and Oscar refuse to work in Kendall's shaft, they'll lose a job, all right?
Yeah. You're right, Carl.
Okay, Mike. Oscar left good old lady. She must be about 65 now. She got nothing, Mike. Nothing. Memories, that's all. Undertakers don't live long on memories. Memories don't buy butter and eggs. They don't put kids through college. Only the living can do that, Mike. I was telling Chris before it happened, Mike. I was working in Ukraine for the Ruskies. Every time a guy loses a minute on job, he got docked on a wage. That go in oil country. He ain't got no rights. Man is human in this country. Some men, Mike. We ain't all got the bankroll like you and Krause. Sure, maybe it was our fault. When you get old like Oscar was, maybe you forget sometime, too. A lot of times there's things that you want to forget, like what happened yesterday. Mike, I never see tears in your eyes before. Carl don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. Least of all, yours, Big Mike.
Just Mike now, Carl. Somehow I don't feel quite as big as I used to.
Who's there?
Mike Yankovich.
Hey, Mike, aren't you getting awful formal all of a sudden? Come on in. I really got something to show you. Yeah, take a look at these production records. That's what I call production. Never seen anything like it in my 40 years of mining. How'd you do it, Mike?
Take another look, Albert. Take a good look. Last time you see anything like that.
Yeah? Well. You're some joker, Mike.
It's no joke. I've been to meetings with the men. They all wanted to quit, but I kept them in the mines. I promised them something. That's why they dig ore like never before.
Yeah? What did you promise them?
I promised them a union.
A union?
Don't laugh, Albert. I promise men a union, and they will get it if it's the last thing I do.
I see. Well, Mike, it may be the last thing you do.
The men deserve a union.
I own the mines, Mike. I'm the one to say yes or no.
Albert! Albert, we've been real friends for a long time. Long as I can remember. Big ideas we had. And we made money. But it cost too much.
Get to the point, Mike. Get to the point.
The point, Albert. Chris is the point. All the others that have died in the mines, they are the point. Cost too much, Albert. Think of the men. They are more important than the mines. Let them have a union. Let them help make those mines safe.
No, Mike.
But I give my word, Albert.
No.
The men are right. They say you have forgotten my Chris and old Oscar. I was your friend. But they say you do not have friends. They say...
Mike, I...
Yes, Albert?
I haven't forgotten Chris. And I haven't forgotten my friends. Especially Big Mike. You're the one who knows how to run these mines, Big Mike, not me. You've given your word to the men.
I'll give my word that my friend Albert will let them have a union.
All right, go tell them, Big Mike. Go tell the men that a friend's word means something. Tell the men they can have their union.
All right, I go and I tell you, Albert. Men will be happy. They will be safe. And they will work hard for two good friends. You'd see, Albert. There'll be more ore than you ever see in your whole life.
You're right, Mike. You're right. You've always been right. Now you get out of here and put in an honest day's work for the company, will you?
Friend, it's common men with a common cause working shoulder to shoulder that makes America great. You talk about production. Those miners in Minnesota produced 80% of the total ore used by the Allies in World War II. Hey, common men with a common cause. They're not rich. There's the lean years that eat up what's been saved during the good ones. But they have something that workers in other lands don't have. The right to join, the right to belong to a union. A guarantee of freedom from fear. And a great step closer to their destination, freedom.
Paul Revere, portrayed by Maurice Copeland, will return next Saturday to narrate another chapter in the story we call Destination Freedom, presented by station WMAQ in the interest of human freedom the world over. Today's script was written by Bob Eklund and produced under the direction of John Kahn. Arthur Peterson played Mike Yankovic. Other members of the cast were Jack Bivens, Stan Gordon, Geraldine Kay, and Ken Nordine. The special music was composed by Emil Soderstrom and was played by Helen Morton and Jose Bethencourt. Our engineer was Al Osterhoff, sound effects by Tom Evans. This is Bob Porter reminding you that the sound of the Freedom Bell is your invitation to follow Paul Revere along the road to Destination Freedom. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.